Hey, let's welcome our wonderful listening and viewing family. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. We always appreciate it when you tune in. You know what? Our thought in the prayer ministry, God's peace and joy are mine. I hope they are yours as well. That is the thought we need to hold foremost in our thought, in our minds, especially for July. God's peace and joy are mine. I know that is true for me. I hope it is true for you. I kind of have a feeling it is. And I know it's true for one of our new subscribers in California, in Claremont, Steve. Let's welcome Steve tonight. One of our wonderful new subscribers. Lots of air hugs and kisses to you, Steve. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Thank all of our subscribers who join us. We really appreciate you. You help us to keep this free live stream going. And those of you who are listening for the first time, we love having you. So tell your friends, tune in to this wonderful experience of healing and joy. After all, God's peace and joy are mine. And I know some other people whose God's peace and joy are theirs as well. My wonderful friends who sit here with me every week. That's my wonderful husband, Mr. Paul McNeff over there. Hey, Paul. Thank you so much. And our incredible administrative assistant, Tess Patton, here for the center, the mom that keeps everybody happy. And of course, Mr. Darren Zakich in the back with sound. Thank you, Darren. There's nobody like Darren to keep all the balls and juggles in the air. And then, of course, Mr. Bill Castle from afar. Thank you. Oh, Bill came back with a fish. Good for you. You caught a big one, didn't you? Yeah, congratulations. Bill was on vacation last week, and it looks like he brought home a pet. Just so Bill knows, you can't hold a trout in your arms. You're going to need to put that in water, or it's going to start smelling. I hope Bill can tell the difference between... We'll see. Who knows? But anyway, he's always a card, and we appreciate his ability to manipulate this live stream and get it going for everybody. It's amazing what happens here. I sometimes feel like it's scotch tape and chicken wire that keeps everything going. But our technology here between Darren and Bill is just incredible, and I'm so grateful. And I am grateful that my staff has stayed with me this long. I'm grateful my husband has stayed with me for 33 years. I'm grateful Tess has been here for, I think it's over 35 years. I mean, are we near? Where are we, Tess?
Started in 94.
She comes back and forth. She's gone to raise kids and then comes back. And so since 94, she's been journeying with us, which is just an incredible process. And then, of course, Darren in the back, who has been nearly, I don't know, 40 years. He's way older than he appears, just so you all know. Somebody was asking me about age the other day. He's super old. He's got lots of gray hair. Anyway, he touches it up now. So no, he doesn't. Anyway, we're having fun here tonight, and I hope you're having fun, because God's peace and joy are mine, you know, and that's what it's really all about. And I haven't shown one of these in a long time, but I want to show it tonight because someone did send us a picture of them in a mask. And I love it when you send your mask photos in of your Teach Only Love mask. This is David in Hogansburg, New York. And as you can see, David is actually in the hospital. Now, David was in the hospital and had to go back into the hospital. And he was originally in there because he has gone through surgery to remove cancer from his spine that had him paralyzed from the waist down. But that did not stop David. We put him in the prayer ministry, and he worked really hard. And even though the doctor said he would not walk again, he is walking. He's using a stepper, a little walker, to assist his steps. But he's an incredible example of a miracle worker in process. He had a little slip back there where things kind of regressed a little bit, where we step back and then we get to step forward again. So, David, our prayers are surrounding you. We know your Teach Only Love mask is spreading the message and internalizing that truth for you, as well as we hold that for you. So thank you so much for sending your photo in and blessing us in that way, David. And I want to thank all of you who have sent your photos in. If you see past issues of the Holy Encounter, you'll probably see your face in there. I know so many more of you already have your mask who haven't sent us a photo. So if you have not sent us a photo of you in your Teach Only Love mask, please do it. As it stands right now, we here in California are probably going to be masking up again because of this most recent Delta variant. And I don't want anybody to feel frustrated because of this. I heard a doctor explain how we might want to look at this like being on an airplane. If you're on an airplane, the pilot tells you to buckle up as you take off. That was the first time. Then when you get up there, you know, you get to take your belt off or leave it loosely around your waist as you are flying. And if there is turbulence, the pilot says, we're going to buckle up again for your safety until we land, etc. Well, you know what? We may have to buckle up again. We may have to put those masks on again. This is not going backwards. This is not reverting. This is not anything bad. Sometimes we have to be compassionate to those around us, and that's what putting a mask on. So why not put on the best mask you can have, which is your Teach Only Love mask, for that is what you are. Those are still, you know, we thought for a while, nobody's going to want these masks anymore, but they are still available. So if you have missed getting your mask, just let us know. I think we have an image. I think we already have. We've shown you an image of the mask. I don't know if we have an extra one, Bill, that you can pop up there. If not, that's okay, too. Just go to our website, and you can see the mask itself and see if you want to get one for yourself or for a loved one. Anyway, so today, thank you, Bill. That's the best mask around, a mask with a happy face and a big thumbs up. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Today we sent out an email, an inspirational email, and I told the story of the trim tab. Buckminster Fuller, many of you know, was a futurist, an engineer, an architect, an author, kind of an all-around inventor, thinker of our time. And when he passed on, he put on his gravestone, "Call me Trim Tab." And it has kind of perplexed some people, but the whole concept of a trim tab is a small little thing that can make something big move easier. So let me show you what a trim tab looks like. I think we have an image of a boat. There's Bucky, Buckminster Fuller. And below it, we see an example of a trim tab. And those are things that were put on, in the beginning, large sailing ships. And they had a large rudder that would move the boat. But to move the rudder took a lot of energy. And so they put that small, can you see it right down there? That small little trim tab right there. And that helped to move the mighty rudder so the mighty boat could move. Well, you know, in life, we have a symbiotic relationship. We all work together. And when we do work together in this symbiotic relationship and in relationship with every living thing, as well as the earth, we move better. So the concept is each person is a mighty trim tab that can make a mighty change and transformation on this planet that can move us towards our true reality, or in the Course's terms, towards heaven. So each of us can be a miracle worker, which is the same as being a mighty trim tab. Same concept and idea. And a couple quotes that I used in this particular article were these. The first one was, God's means, I am the means God appointed for the salvation of the world. Think about that. You are the means. You're that little trim tab, even when you don't know it. You are a mighty trim tab that can make a major difference in this world by the change of consciousness, holding love instead of fear, not buying into attack and focusing on forgiveness, making peace your goal instead of conflict. Those are little ripples that can make a mighty effect. And the Course says in this particular passage, in lesson 63, that I am the means that God has appointed for the salvation of the world. I know we just say these lines, they're beautiful, and we just kind of casually pass them on, but do you get that? If you're not using your little trim tab to be the means for salvation, then you're missing your purpose and probably why you feel a little frustrated or a little depressed or maybe rudderless at times. Maybe the purpose you can do right now is to show people it's really okay to put a mask on again. There's nothing defeated in that. There's nothing limited about that. Maybe you go out and get a vaccine because you know that that can help the greater good. That's how you can become a little bit of a trim tab. Maybe you say, how can I foster unity instead of separation? And ask the Holy Spirit to step into your mind. That's how we become the mighty trim tab of transformational change on this planet. We can do it because we are God's means for the salvation of the world. That's a mighty purpose. Don't let it scare you. Let it empower you. Let it empower you to be active as he would have you do, being that mighty trim tap. So how do we administer that function in the world? We know this is true for the Course telling us in lesson 62 that I am the means that God has appointed for the salvation of the world. Well, we followed it up with this quote from workbook lesson 82 that says, my forgiveness is the means by which the world is healed. So I am salvation's means, and through my forgiveness, the world is healed, as it says, together with myself. So not only am I doing it for them, but I'm doing it for myself. Let me then forgive the world, that it may be healed along with me. And I think sometimes we just don't know what it means to forgive. Okay, forgiveness is my function. How does that work? We're so used to our old ways of finding someone we done wrong so we can atone, or someone who done us wrong so that they can atone to us. And that's what we stop right there with forgiveness. Forgiveness are the thoughts you hold in your mind right now. I did a 6-hour seminar on forgiveness. I covered it really pretty good. If you're in question about forgiveness, I suggest you get that seminar. Go to our website and get that seminar. But what forgiveness really is not some big, deep, dark secret. It's the focus of our attention on the truth of who we are, the love that is our essence, and allowing that love to work through us. If the Course says everything is an extension of love or a call for love, then your responsibility is to give love. Right, you got it. I heard you. But it also goes on to say, but you don't know how to do that. You don't know how to give love. Can you imagine that? So we are asked to step back and let him lead the way. It's not like you're remedial or you can't, but why would you not want the answer that would end the question? Why would you not want the answer that would stop the chaos or stop the conflict? And that's what the Holy Spirit can do for you when you allow him to work through you. You are salvation's means and end. You are God's appointed choice for the salvation of the world. And forgiveness is the means by which this world will be healed. Your function and way is through forgiveness here. The Course says this over and over again. It's time for us to believe it, to believe that you can be a mighty trim tab of transformation. You might say, well, it's sure taken a long time to move that big boat. Well, it does. Have you ever seen a big boat? They don't move on a dime. Their turning radius is real slow. So what now, think about a mighty change in consciousness of a lot of people. It takes a while. And I know we can look out there and see a lot of consciousness that seems very separating right now, very angry right now. But how do you become a mighty trim tab to fix them? Well, you don't fix them. You fix you. This is where we start. Every day as you do your daily workbook lesson, every day as you let peace reign in your mind, every day as you address those people who come to mind or who you meet throughout the day or those you see on the news or read in the newspaper or any of the experiences that are going on in the world, it is time for us to acknowledge whatever it is we may feel, our anger, frustration, whatever it may be, and then ask for healing, ask for help. How might I be, Father, the salvation of the world? How might I be that mighty trim tab of consciousness to bring forgiveness into this circumstance and into this situation? Doesn't mean once you do this that everybody's going to agree with you or like it or change. But change in the world does not indicate change in consciousness. It will. But you got a big boat to turn out there, don't you? So you have to be patient as that mighty trim tab of truth, okay? So we have a job, don't we? I want you to think about that. Next time the world seems so looming or problems seem so great, remember you are a trim tab of truth. And it is time for you to make the turn so that the world can make the turn. It's got to start with you. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with the other guy. Oh, no, that wouldn't make a very good song. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. We sing it all the time, but we don't think about it. It's time to think. It's time to question those thoughts that are divisive, unpeaceful in our minds. You know what they are. You clearly know what they are. It's time for us to make that change. You know, what was that Michael Jackson song? If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make the change. Okay, I'm going to do a lot of singing tonight, just so you know. But anyway, great. I thought that was a great, I'm sorry, I thought my article was great today, so I'm all into it. Anyway, thank you. Anybody else have any comments here on that wonderful, wonderful article?
Just before our meeting, we were kind of reminiscing about one of our beloved souls that is no longer with us in person, but we were talking about Bud Mendoza. And Bud, what always came out to me is that what you were just saying about being trim tabs, but we, if we're willing to be that, it's never anything that we've gained or earned or more knowledge. It's just being willing to do it. And one of Bud's favorite passages has become mine too, is that I am here only to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or what to do, because he who sent me will direct me. And then it goes on. And I'm thinking to myself, there's so much power in that for me, because I don't have to attain any degree or anything else. That's how I can be the change, is just be willing to let this greater power that is within me allow it to merge forth. Just get out of the way, you know, just get out of the way, and it will come forth when you're willing.
And help you in the smallest way. I think sometimes we just think, again, what difference does it make if I change my mind today, if I rest in peace today? Well, what difference does it make if there's a tiny trim tab on that great rudder to move the boat? Well, according to engineers and inventors and scientists, a massive difference. So the next time you think, what difference does it make? Well, then think of the trim tab, because it makes a big difference, makes a huge difference. So your workbook lessons, that's important. Perhaps your prayer time at 4:30 Pacific time with our prayer ministry, whatever that time is for you, to remember God's peace and joy are mine, or whatever your thought is for the day, if you'd like to substitute that, that's okay. But you remember that for yourself, and you remember that for everyone in the prayer ministry, and throw your own family and friends in there too, and maybe a few people that piss you off. It can't hurt, you know. It can only heal. So whoever it is, whatever it is. But those specific times are not magical. There's nothing magical about it. But what it does do is help to focus your attention on the truth. That's why when the course says do this every 5 minutes a day, or whatever the time schedule it says, or do it morning and evening and throughout the day as many times as you can, that's not magic. That's not a secret formula to learn this course. It is willingness. The course often says, if you could just do it one time where you truly believed it, that would be enough. The fact is, we have so many distractions, we need to keep saying it over and over again, because it's not enough for us. You know what's right for you. You know what works for you. So if this says you got to remember it, you know, 10 times during the day, and you know, I'm going to need 30 or 40, well, then go for it. You know, whatever it is that works for you. You need to do it as it works for you. There's no magic trick here. The trick is, if there is a trick, do it. Do it. Do it now. Don't wait for the other guy. Don't wait until you get perfect with the course. Do it now. Because every little movement, just like the trim tab, makes a massive change. Do not doubt. Our doubting is what the ego depends on, counts on. So we're going to undo it. We're going to look at it and say, nope, not today. I am the means God has appointed for the salvation of the world. And he told me how to do it through forgiveness here, the refocus on love, administered and answered by the mighty Holy Spirit, the guide, the voice for God, the presence of Christ within me now that can help me to make that massive change in the world that only you can make. You have your function, I have my function, only we can make as those mighty trim tabs of truth. So one of the best ways to make mighty trim tabs of truth transformational is through prayer. Quiet times, moments of stilling the world, moments of stepping back from the world, moments of quieting our minds when there's no justified reason to quiet them. Because we know that the answer is not found in the chaos. The answer is found in that moment of peace as we turn within. So join me now in turning within. And if you can close your eyes, great, let's do that as well. And let's take a deep breath together. And as we slowly release this breath, let's just allow our bodies to relax. Let's rest into the position we find ourselves in. We don't have to be upset by our bodies. Maybe they haven't done what we really want them to do. Maybe they seem to be acting a little independent from our thoughts. We don't have to be upset. We don't have to be worried. We just want to focus on the truth for our bodies, for our minds, for our hearts, for this moment right now. So we are willing to go down through our bodies, through our forehead, jaw, neck, shoulders, and relax. Relax. This body has been good in this area today. It has served its purpose well. Bless it and allow it to find the peace that it hungers, to move in harmony. We go down through our arms into our hands and fingers, and we say, peace, be still, relax. Again, a wonderful blessing our arms, our hands, our fingers have been. Now let's go down through the trunk of our body, through our torso. Relax. Peace be still. Again, it's been a wonderful service for us today. And we invite it to work in harmony with every aspect of our body. Our head, our jaw, neck, arms, hands, fingers work in harmony with the torso and every organ that is found within there. We go down through our legs, into our feet and toes. Again, relax. Peace be still. We bless this area of our body for its mighty service for us. Allowing this instrument to be used for healing today. Maybe you doubt whether this instrument, this communication tool, was used properly today, but I guarantee you it was. It was exactly what it needed to be and to do for you. Could it be different tomorrow? Yes. Might it be more peaceful tomorrow? Perhaps. But for today, for this moment right now, everything is as it should be. And this body cannot take away the truth of who you are. I am not a body, I am free. Because I am still as God created me. Nothing can change that truth. But everything can be an instrument for us to experience and share that truth. And so our bodies are blessed because they can be that for others in this world, for ourselves. We become a mighty trim tab of truth, of transformation, of healing, of willingness. And so we embrace everyone in our prayer ministry tonight, no matter the issues they seem to be going through, with this same awareness of truth. We invite all of their bodies, as we invited our own, to be activated at the highest level for unity and peace and healing. And we do not judge the form that that may take. But we recognize that it is the mind that is in control of the body and not the other way around. You have a mighty purpose now, to remember the truth. God has appointed you as the salvation of the world. He is going to make you useful in whatever circumstance and situation you find yourself, to extend love, to be an instrument of love for all whom you meet, for all who think of you, for those passed on and those yet to be born. And so we embrace your truth, Father, that God's peace and joy are mine. For those in the prayer ministry, for our family and friends, for all those who walk this world with us tonight, because this is the truth. And everything else is simply a distraction, a hallucination of the ego. And so we refocus on the truth, so those thoughts of peace and healing may reign in our minds, so that we may extend that to the world, to all our loved ones, that we may be the mighty trim tab of truth. Because we are guaranteed that we came for the salvation of the world. In me, salvation's means and end are one. In me, God's holy child, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict when all the parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands alone, or one of more or less importance than the rest? I am the means by which God's child is saved. Because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek. I am the goal the world is searching for. I am God's holy child, His one eternal love. I am salvation's means and end as well. So let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. And thus does what is thereby reconciled in me become as surely reconciled to you. In me, salvation's means and end are one. Let us delay no longer. Let us accept atonement for ourselves. Let us realize that we are healed and whole right now. Let us know there are no limitations to the Son of God. And let us then together arise in glory and allow that truth, the light within us, to shine upon the world throughout this day, throughout this moment, throughout this year. It is time we arise out of the dust of limit, the fear of this world, the doubt that has kept us in chains for so long, and accept our place as salvation's means and end. It is you. It is me. It is the Son of God Himself. We thank you, Father, for this knowing, for this transformation that we can be on this planet, for the healing example we can be. We are grateful for the gift you've given us in Jesus, and grateful for the Holy Spirit that is with us always. We invite that Spirit right now to be in this gathering this evening, to be our eyes, our ears, our hands, our feet, our words tonight, so that every expression this evening may be kind and loving as we go forth into this day and the next day and the next day to come, so that everything may be an example and a reflection of the atonement, which is what we are, the healing of the thought of separation. Because in me, in us, salvation's means and end are one. And for that, we are truly grateful. And together we say, Amen. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, Paul. Beautiful music. Great workbook lesson. I don't know if you noticed it, if you had your eyes closed, but I was able to open my eyes right at the end, and I saw a beautiful lake with a boat out there. Was that Bill? Was that Bill out on the lake? Maybe he's running the, maybe he didn't come back from his vacation. He's still fishing out on the lake. I don't know, but that was very beautiful. Perfect, perfect timing, Bill. Did you plan that? Give me a thumbs up. I know you did. Okay, we'll see if he can get me a thumbs up real quick. Is he giving me one? Okay. He's giving me a different finger. Yeah, oh, there we go. Thank you, Bill. When I do stuff like this on him out of the blue, he then goes, wait, I'm over on another screen. Yeah, there he goes. There's what Bill really is. He's always kind of like, oh. For those of you who listen and don't watch, you miss so much. Honest to Pete. You got to go and watch the creativity of Bill, the creativity of Darren. I mean, you just got to go watch our tech. There, he finally got the image of the mask. Thank you, Bill. Let's see, how late was that? Oops. Yeah, thank you. Okay. We got a lot going on here. Thank you. No problem. Truly loved and appreciated. This is lesson 318. What a great lesson. This goes so well with our thought tonight about being mighty trim tabs of truth, the inspirational email. By the way, if you haven't read your inspirational email, but, you know, we can tell if you don't. We don't care, but you know what? We can tell who's opening what and how many people like a particular article. I don't know how this one did. We haven't checked it out. Did you? I don't know. Anyway, if you haven't read it, then go and open it up. It's an actual very short article. Sometimes I think you go, oh, Beverly, she talks too long. You know, but on this particular article, it was actually very short and to the point, wasn't it? Tess is nodding her head. Right, honey? My husband's going, absolutely. Of course, that's affirmative always from my husband, so it's always a good thing. Anyway, lesson 318, salvation's, in me, salvation's means and end are one. What a great lesson. Oh, there is so much wonderful stuff in this lesson, and it's appropriate for we're going to be talking about the final obstacle to peace, the Course says, which is the fear of God. And this is helping us to get there. How do we get there? It's got to come through us recognizing all these limitations we place on ourselves are not real. As it says, in me, God's holy Son, holy child, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. Do you get that? That's a pretty big statement. What it's saying is, as you heal the world. That's what a mighty trim tab of truth you are. And that's pretty big there. It's reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. It's all right here. You don't have to go out and find somebody more important than you to do this, somebody smarter than you to do this. It's really right here. I was listening to a great NPR episode today about a mathematician, a woman mathematician who was at Cambridge, I think. And she was talking about how math, most people just don't like math. They're confused. It's too hard. She says, and the funny thing is, math is just relational. Real math. She says, when you get to the higher levels of math that I studied, we don't care that 2 and 2 are 4. And as a matter of fact, we start to prove it's not. She says, those numbers together are those numbers in those ways. That means nothing. She said, what it is when you look at the number 2, it's its relationship to 1 and 3. That's it. That's what we look at. It becomes a relationship experience, a relational experience. She says, when little kids are taught math, they're learned to use manipulatives. You remember that when your kids were little, they would go get 2 blocks or two balls or something to understand if you had 2 of something and then you added something else, how that would be, because it's all relationship. It's all relational to understanding. Math, she said, should continue to be taught in that respect. What happens to us is it becomes a speed thing. It becomes, this is right, this is wrong. How many points did you get on that particular problem? Blah, blah, blah. And she says it loses its true understanding. When you finally take enough math to get to the place where I am, she says you realize it's all relational. But most people don't get to that place because it's already been killed out of them before they get there. The same thing is true with us. Everything is relational. Nobody's smarter than you when it comes to the course. You need to do this for you. Do you get that? You need to find out what it is that is your awakening, your function that works for you. How do you heal? How do you transform? How do you bring peace to your mind? It's going to be different for you than it is for Tess, or it's going to be for Paul or Darren or me or anybody else. You're going to find your own way. So nobody can tell you, oh, you got to find a favorite seat, and you got to use this candle, and you got to burn this incense, and you got to do that. You can find peace in the midst of the storm. Peace right here now. God's not waiting for you to get into your favorite chair and light your favorite candle. He's talking to you constantly. By the way, I did another seminar on getting God's guidance. That's another one. 6 hours on that, too. So there's lots of understanding through the course, and it's very directional for us. And that's what this is saying. Understand how powerful you are, what a mighty truth you are, and let's get to work. Let's get to work on remembering the truth. And the irony of the course, it says you have to be vigilant for God and his kingdom until you realize you don't need it. Vigilance, in essence. But while we still think we do, we need 360 lessons. We need some 600, 700, 800 pages of a text and a manual for teachers. Because we don't get that way. You know, we don't understand that everything is, what does it say? In the introduction? This course can be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. Close the book. We're all done. Well, most of us don't get that. Or we get it, but we don't do it. So we get something like this. This incredible lesson. In me, God's holy son recognizes, he's telling you, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. You got the plan already. You don't have to search outside to find another treasure map, another teacher, another book, another whatever. It's all here, right here. It's time to unlock it. You know, unlock it. What could conflict when all parts, all of us, have but one purpose and one aim? In the end, anger and hate and judgment and separation will fall away because it's an antiquated idea. Doesn't serve the Holy Son of God. Produces nothing. So it shall fall away. That's what it's basically saying. Because in the end, all parts have but one purpose and one aim: to awaken to the truth, to reconcile all parts of heaven, which is in you right now. That's what it's saying. How could there be a single part that stands alone, or one of more or less importance than the rest? So someone says, only I can do it. Well, we know that's not true, right? We're all mighty trim tabs of truth. No one has the corner on the truth. And so when you might say, well, how do I know? Well, when people are focusing on bringing us together and unity and joining, then that pretty much sounds right to me, makes sense to me. I find myself nodding. When someone is saying, only I can do it, or my way or the highway, how do you feel? In relationships and politics and business, that's not comfortable. We also know business has moved in that direction a lot, right? It's all relationship. It's all relational. You know, it's interesting to see places like Google or all these internet companies. It's all making it comfortable for the employee to work together as a team. You know, get your latte and grab a bouncy ball and let's have a meeting. You know, we're going to get together, because don't drink your latte where you're bouncing on your ball. You probably make a mess. But, you know, I mean, figure it out. Anyway, but that's important, because they're saying it's relationship-oriented, relational. So it says here, if no one is it more or less than another, so most businesses want to come up with a solution for a company that's a win-win. Makes more sense if everybody's happy with what we did instead of just coming in and taking over. We want to find out how we can work together. That's why a lot of times when there's a problem, you go to mediation instead of going to court to figure out how we can work through something that's an agreement that makes sense to both of us. You know, that's what we need to get to in those places. And it goes on to say, I am the means by which God's Son is saved. Did you know that? We are the means by which everyone is saved. I'm saved, you're saved. As I awaken, because I reconcile all parts of heaven within me, I am saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the truth of who I am, the sinlessness that God has placed in me. To know who and what I am, and get rid of all this mistaken thought about me. Now, to know who and what you are does not mean that you sit there and go, I'm so great. I am salvation's means and end. You know, look at me. Woo! You know, no. It's saying, when I recognize that I am salvation's means and end, it means I know that you are too. Because I know we awaken when we work together, not alone. So that's what we do. So we all kind of go, woo! Look at me. Look at us. We're incredible. We're transformational. We're that mighty trim tab of truth. So it says here, it's for us to awaken to who we are, to start fasting from all those sacrificial thoughts, those guilty thoughts, those unworthy thoughts, and start feasting on the truth. The love that is who you are, the love that is the essence of everyone else past all their cover stories. Okay, that's what this is talking about. I am, and then it goes on to say, it's so powerful. Salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God placed in me. And then these great lines after this. I was created as the thing I seek. I know you're looking outside yourself to so many places to find out who you are. You are the thing you're seeking. You're the treasure you're looking for. Your salvation's means and end. You can make a mighty transformation on this planet. I am the goal the world is searching for. I'm the goal. I'm the goal the world is searching for. These are huge statements of truth. It says, I am God's son. I am God's child. I am God's creation. That's a mighty statement. Nothing to be afraid of. Something to embrace. I am God's child. And it's time I accept that truth. And it goes on to tell you how. His one eternal love, I am salvation's means and end as well. His one eternal love, that means if I am his eternal love, we are all his eternal love. But as I awaken to that awareness in me, I help others to awake. That's what recognizing you are a miracle worker does. It starts the chain reaction. You might say it's taken a lot of people time, a lot of time to wake up. That's okay. We're all going to get there because it's inevitable we will awaken. The time you take, as the Course says, what? Is voluntary. But free will does not establish what you will eventually do. You know, that's why this Course can be summed up very simply by saying, nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal exists. Nothing real, the truth about you, cannot be threatened. Nothing unreal, which is all the illusions you've made up about yourself and this world, is true. Nothing real can be threatened, nothing unreal just isn't true. Herein lies the peace of God. Herein lies salvation's means and end. That's what it's saying. His one eternal love. I am the salvation's means and ends as well. And then we get this great little prayer at the end where it says, let me today, my Father, take the role you offered me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. What is, people, oh my God, a big word here. What's atonement? Well, atonement is just healing the thought of separation. Atonement, from the more traditional standpoint, is healing your thought of separation with God, right? But how the Course would describe it is, if you're going to accept the atonement for yourself, you're basically going to accept salvation's means and end are one, and therefore I recognize that forgiveness has to be my function, right? So as I heal those thoughts of separation between me and another, because the Course's chosen path for your healing are your relationships, saying that every relationship starts out as special and needs to be transformed into holy. So I look at my relationships, I look at where I seem to find myself, and I ask for help so that they might be transformed into what is atonement, which is healing the thought of separation between God by healing the thought of separation between my brother. That's the Course's chosen path home for you, and the separation you feel in yourself. So it goes on to say, for thus what is thereby reconciled in me, the healing of that, become as surely reconciled in you. I recognize that it is giving and receiving, that that God, what is in the reconciliation of God is in me now. And that when I feel that within my heart for another, even if it's fleeting, it is reconciliation with my Creator. That's what it is. It is finally getting in line with the power that has always been there. It's like if you had a power source and it was always there waiting for you and you never turned on the lamp and you complained about the darkness that you seem to find yourself in. Complained about how it's never hot or cold in the house, you know. I have the power source, but I choose not to use it. I don't choose to heal my thought of separation. So it's not that you don't know the answer. We all know the answer. We know love makes more sense than hate, you know, than fear. We know peace makes more sense than conflict, than war. Nothing's ever been achieved in war. We just get more war. We know that attack and rhetoric of attack and just divisiveness does nothing more than create more divisiveness. You just got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired and want another way. That's really why the Course came about, right? Back in the 60s. You know, there has to be a better way. When Helen asked that voice within her, why me? Why A Course in Miracles? And he said, you know, basically, because the world is worsened to such a place that teachers of God are needed now more than ever before. We're going through what might be called a celestial speed up. It's time to get to work. It's time to recognize that you are mighty trim tabs of truth. You have a mighty purpose on this planet. Do your workbook lessons. By the way, we help you with that too, for free. You can sign up to get your workbook lessons. Are you doing them? If not, no guilt. But go to our website right now and sign up to get your lesson starting wherever you want. If you've been doing the Course for a while and then you just stopped doing it and you stopped on lesson 52, you can ask it to send you lesson 52. You don't have to start all over again. Start at lesson 52. Big secret. What's said on lesson 52 is probably said at every other lesson, by the way. Don't even know what lesson 52 is, but there it is on our website. See, daily lesson email. Go there. Go to our front page. Go to the side where it says daily lesson email. It's right there. Click on that, or go to services. You'll see daily lesson email pop up. Click on that. Just go to anything, and if you don't know what you're doing, give Tess a call. She'll tell you. She'll straighten you out, right? You're good at straightening out people. She's always good at straightening out people, right, Tess?
Yes, I am. I'll do that for you.
She straightens everybody out here, so she's good at doing that. Anyway, anybody have a comment you want to make?
I just wanted to share about a trim tab.
Good.
A gentleman today on the phone called again. He had ordered a case of 24 of Jerry Jampolsky books, a mini course for life, the other day, like a week ago, and he just got them in, and he called back today to order another case of them. And he said that he's giving them to homeless shelters. And he said, most homeless people are far more intelligent than people give them credit for. He said a lot of times far more intelligent than we are.
Wow, I love
and,
it.
Yes, and so, and he's 94 years old. His, Darren will know the exact thing, but his father helped develop or create helicopters. And so he's just like this incredible, we were talking, Darren and I were sharing today, wouldn't it be wonderful at 94? To be ordering books to give to a homeless shelter.
Incredible.
Like, hopefully we'll have that long life to be a trim tab at that age.
Incredible.
So he's not sitting there feeling alone and sorry for himself. He's out there still encouraging people. I think that's just a wonderful trim tab.
Incredible. What state does he live in, out of curiosity?
He lives in Delaware.
Delaware.
Yes.
Good for Delaware.
Is it Delaware?
Connecticut.
Sorry.
Well, good for Connecticut. Wherever they are, that's got to be making a big, big change.
Somebody else I talked to from Delaware today.
Well, again, Tess is straightening people out left and right. So, no. I mean, in a real wonderful way. No, we never mix up your state. We just, when we're talking sometimes. But my goodness, that's a great story. I love hearing that. You know, we oftentimes say we have a prison ministry here, and we send things into the prison ministries. And that's a wonderful thing to do, too. But I have never thought about homeless shelters. What a great idea that is. So, hey, folks, if you have a homeless shelter near you and you want to be like this wonderful gentleman, what was his first name?
Igor.
Igor. If you want to be like Igor, and yes, big hugs and kisses, you know. The mini course is a great thing to send out to people, by the way. It's that wonderful little booklet with cards in it that Jerry Jampolsky came up with. God, years and years ago, actually before his first book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, he did the mini cars. And used to be in a little blue container with cards in it. Now they put it into a book, so it's a little more self-contained. And but that would be, it's a great introductory to people. And it just kind of gives you nuggets, little gems of truth out of the course itself, and very easy to digest. Wow. I love it. I love it. That's great. And we have lots of them. How many of those do we have? I think Jerry and Diane gave us all their stock.
Yes, we have the full stock. I said, when I'm 94, we'll still have them here, too. Because we have a lot, so we can share.
Right, unless you're willing to just give them away. Yeah, get some and give them away. I mean, I know Diane would be thrilled. And I know Jerry, who's watching us always, is probably rah-rah-rahing right now and getting that out there. So wonderful. Incredible. Paul, did you want to say anything? I know you kind of.
Yeah, so many things. I'm going to relate that to this lesson in a bit, but we were watching one of the shows on TV, and it was about this man. This is a real story. He had placed this gold treasure out somewhere in the United States, and then he announced it all over social media or whatever. And it was a story of how all these people had gotten obsessed with finding this. And the guy had written this cryptic kind of like riddle on how to find it. And all these people, it was interviewing all these people that had tried this through the years. Some of them had lost their lives. Of course, they didn't interview them, but other people who knew them on this search. And he was starting to get a lot of actually, pushback, because this is too dangerous. People are losing their lives. And the other people that were still searching, he said, well, that's their problem. I still want to. And in the search, in the journey, was what most of them loved about it, because it kind of gave their life this incredible inspiration to go out and find something.
Yeah, and also get out in nature, and they brought their families together.
Yeah, yeah,
because they'd
exactly.
go out and camp and look, and I thought that was a great thing about it.
And but it brings me back in a reflective sense to what we're all searching for. I used to sing the song called "A Pearl of Great Price," and it talked about kind of set up by saying in every person there lies one deep longing to find that great treasure, to find that, and. In me, salvation's means and end are one. And that's why I like about this. I think of things in musical terms. When it finally gets to, I am the means, and you were saying this, I am the means by which God's, it's this crescendo up to finally saying,
yes, it is.
You know, I am salvation's means and end as well. Mm-hmm. All this stuff. And I'm thinking, well, in my mind, is Jesus saying that? No. Jesus, as the Son of God, as we, the child of God, we're saying, I mean, this is our affirmation.
Yeah.
And you said something before, like, some of us understand it, but we don't really get it. I think there's difference maybe between understanding mentally and getting it in our hearts.
Right.
So that
right.
this is reality we come from all the mm-hmm. time. I think if the course could be named another great name, it could be called The Great Uncovering. We're
right.
uncovering this great treasure that is within us. And the more we ingest these spiritual truths, the more exciting this journey is. This journey is not easy to find peace because we're totally assaulted in this crazy illusion world. So many things out there that would allow to rob our peace. But that's why, again, I come back to great gratitude of what the Course gives you as this anchoring, this North Star, so to speak, of what it can mean in our lives. And as long as we stay attached to that, this world can go to hell. And it is, in a sense. But you know what? But
yeah.
we can be that trim tab to mm-hmm. make that huge difference
right,
in a spiritual sense. Maybe it's not going to, in a physical sense, you know, who knows? But in a spiritual sense, where our reality is, it
right.
can make that great difference.
You know, we're actually going to be doing a seminar coming up called Above the Battleground, Finding Peace in Turbulent Times. And I'm going to be doing a seminar about basically the secrets and the nuggets that the Course has inside of it that have been my awakenings of awareness in healing my own life. You know, if you've had some awakenings in your life, share them with me. We love hearing them. I love sharing them here. I love hearing your stories. Send me things that really helped you. You know, maybe even especially during the pandemic. What worked for you? What really helped you to arise in glory and allow the light in you to shine upon the world throughout the day? And it doesn't always have to look good, you know. There's lots of things. Like, for example, this story today, this inspirational email, we got lots of really good, nice comments of people saying, I really like this. This really helped me. This was an inspiration. And that's what our inspirational emails are, is to just kind of, in the middle of the week, Wednesday, hump day, is to make your hump a little lighter. We should call it, instead of hump day, we should call it miracle day, right? It should be, Wednesday should be miracle day, the time to kind of awaken our minds to who and what we are, so we are ignited yet again to enter into the rest of the week. But this came from Shauna in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and she said, I love the article about Bucky and the trim tabs. I will think on this throughout the day as I go about doing my little part to spread love and forgiveness. And that's all I wanted. Wow, that made me feel good. And hearing Tessa's story, hearing so many stories out there, I found A Course in Miracles through a graduate program, and the Course just seemed to call to me. Like a lot of people feel that way who end up studying the Course. They may walk away from it, and then they come back to it, and then they walk away from it, but they don't seem to be able to get rid of it. It's kind of like they keep coming back, like a, what is it, a bad penny or a, I don't know. But it's a good thing. And I seriously needed, she said needed, all in capital letters, to hear the call. My husband is struggling through his own violence and alcoholic issues, and I was struggling with anger and blame towards him. The Course helped me to focus on forgiveness and change my outlook about relationships and my purpose in life. I plan to finish the course and start a study group here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we all are students and teachers together. And she And so beautiful. She says, by the way, I like your smiling face. You look like someone I'd like to sit down and have a cup of tea with. Well, anytime, Shauna, we can do that. So anyway, but what a lovely, she kind of symbolized all the things people were going through. You know, just because we're working on these things doesn't mean that we're not going to have issues to deal with. We have to deal with those issues, and dealing with them is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. That's how I accept the atonement for myself. I can't accept the atonement if I don't look at the things that block the awareness of love's presence. That's why the introduction to A Course in Miracles really sums up the course. There's so many things in there. This is, you know, your time is voluntary on this, but you can't establish what you're going to awaken to. You know, you gotta look at the stuff, because you don't have to create what you already got, which is love, but you have to look at the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, because you gotta move past those things. If you don't move past those things, then you're stuck. Have you ever felt stuck? Kind of stuck in a rut? Depressed, angry, frustrated? Well, we got something blocking us there. You know, my favorite commercial, I always have looked for this. The old, what was it, Comet commercial? Liquid Plumber. I think it was Liquid Plumber. That they used to put, the clogged sink, and then they'd put the Liquid Plumber down, and it would sit there and work on the grout. Oh, I always loved looking at the thing that was in your sink. You know, they had a glass pipe, so you could see the hair and the crap and the, can you imagine what's in your pipes, you know, from your sink or from whatever, and they'd pour that Liquid plumber in there, and then after a little while they'd turn on the water and it would just flush it right out, just it was gone. You know, we were healed, we were flowing again, we were at peace yet again. I just always loved that. I loved the idea of that. I don't know why, as a kid when that commercial came on, I was like, is that the Liquid Plumber commercial? I really like that commercial. That was so inspiring to me. And I think it's because there's so many times in my own life I felt plugged or clogged by my anger or my sense of unworthiness or my feelings of judgment. And I recognized that did me no good. And that the Holy Spirit was kind of like my Liquid Plumber if I was willing to pour it in and let it, you know, clean me out. And you feel so much better, don't you? When everything's cleaned out. I mean, you know what I'm talking about without me saying it. I won't say it. Anyway, great lesson. Wonderful lesson. Let's get into our section. We have a little time to get into our section tonight. Again, we are in chapter 19, the attainment of peace. We are in the obstacles of to peace, which is section 4 in that section. And we are already on the fourth obstacle. And last week, we actually reviewed the first three, which is the first obstacle to peace is the desire to get rid of peace. I always love that one because I always think to myself, what an ironic title. You know, here it is. We're doing the obstacles to peace, and you think you'd want peace, but most of us are not so sure if we do. We have a desire to get rid of peace. The second one is the belief the body is valuable for what it offers. The third one is the attraction of death. And so we're going to be coming into, thank you, Bill. I think you got those all there. We're going to be actually starting right now on the fourth obstacle, which is the fear of God. I'm going to read a couple of paragraphs and see if we can get through a little bit of this before I invite Paul and Tess to read with us. But here's what it says. The fourth obstacle, the fear of God. What would you see without the fear of death? What would you feel and think if death held no attraction to you? Very simply, you would remember your Father, the creator of life, the source of everything that lives, the Father of the universe and of the universe of universes, and of everything that lies even beyond them, would you remember? And as this memory rises in your mind, it says peace must still surmount a final obstacle, after which is salvation completed and the Son of God entirely restored to sanity. What does it say? For here your world does end. Wow. So that can make you afraid right there, by the way, because you think, oh my God, it's the end of the world? Oh, I told you I was going to sing. It's the end of the world as I know, as you know it. It's the end of the world as you know it. One more time. It's the end of the world as you know it. And I feel fine. I love it. I feel fine. Who sang that?
I forget.
Well, we don't know who sang it. I bet you Bill knows who sang it. But that song, I've heard it so many times on TV shows and movies, I think, because it says it's the end of the world as you know it, and I feel fine. I feel fine. And that's what this is kind of telling us, because I think we get scared thinking it's the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it. It is R.E.M. It's not that I'm. It's the end of the world of a cataclysmic world event. I don't know. But it is the end of what, from the Course's perspective, of your pain and suffering and your loss and your limit and your separation. It is when you accept the atonement for yourself through healing your relationship with your brothers, which inevitably heals your relationship with God. The world's going to look real different to you, by the way. Instead of feeling so afraid, like the little drop of water to the mighty ocean, who thinks it wants to retain its dripness, it wants to be that little drip out here, when the mighty ocean says, when you finally return to me, you find out you never were the drip. You were always the mighty ocean. You don't lose yourself. You find yourself. And that's what this is talking about. When that veil is lifted, when we no longer need to hold on to the fear of death or the fear of our bodies or the fear of peace, when we can embrace these truths, even though we may not understand them from our current understanding, the creator of the universe and universes even beyond the universes is not here to harm you, but to love you. Because you are reconciled in him and he is reconciled in you. It's his benefit. It is the benefit. God benefits from you. Reconciling yourself. How powerful can that be? As the Course often says, God is incomplete without you. You are essential. You are salvation's means and ends. Do you get that? So when you're being that mighty trim tab like Igor is, sending out all these things to people, wow. When Shauna in Oklahoma says, you know what? I'm going to think on this and I'm going to recognize that love and forgiveness is really the answer. Wow. Mighty trim tabs of truth transforming this planet. Let's go on to that second paragraph in there. It says, the fourth obstacle to be surmounted hangs, look at this, hangs like a heavy veil before the face of Christ. We're not willing to pull up. Yet as his face, though, rises beyond it, shining with joy because he is in his Father's love, peace will lightly brush the veil aside and run to meet him. So when we finally stop cherishing the veil and cherish the face of Christ, it'll be gone. It'll be no more. And join with him at last. So we run past all of this and join with him at last. For this dark veil, which seems to make the face of Christ himself like to a leper's, and the bright rays of his Father's love that light his face with glory appear as something else, as streams of blood. All this fades in the blazing light beyond it when the fear of death is gone. And that's why we spent a lot of time on that third obstacle, the attraction of death. And you might say, oh, I'm not attracted to death. Not me. Yeah, we are. We think death gets us out of something, or we think there might be salvation in death. I'm not saying that the body doesn't end, but that's not death. From the Course's perspective, death is something quite different. And I want you to look at this. I want to pull this up. Bill, it's going to be the lesson 167, where it says, there is one life, and that I share with God. Where it says, there are not different kinds of life, for life is like the truth. It does not have degrees. It is the one condition in which all God created share. Like all his thoughts, it has no opposite. Just like love, there is no opposite. But if there could be, what is that introduction said? It would be fear. So if there could possibly be a life to an opposite to all that is, we have made that death. But it says, like his thoughts, there really are no opposite. So it says there is no death because God, what God created shares his life. He doesn't die. God doesn't die. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't take a break because he is. He is. There is no death because an opposite to God doesn't exist. An opposite to life does not exist. There is no death because the Father and the Son are one. Again, all things are reconciled in me and I am reconciled in him, right? That's what it's saying. Then look at that second paragraph. In this world, there appears to be a state that is life's opposite. Like there could be something called death, right? You call it death. Yet have we learned that the idea of death actually takes many forms? It is the one idea which underlines all feelings that are not, look at that, supremely happy. Ooh. Well, God's peace and joy are mine for this month of July, lesson 105, might be a good one to look at. It is the alarm to which you give response to any kind that is not perfect joy. So when you sit there, I'm a little depressed today, that's a dead thought, is what it's telling us. All sorrow, loss, anxiety, and suffering, and pain, even the little sigh of weariness. Slight discomfort or the merest frown. Wow. Acknowledge death. And thus deny you life. Boy, that's a very different statement than what we have made death into, is it not? So let's not fool ourselves. Death is not the end of the body. Death is when you sit there in your sorrow, when you sit there in your self-pity, when we sit there in our powerlessness feelings, or we can become like Igor and become little trib tabs at truth. We can become like Shana, who says, you know, I'm gonna do a study group because we're all students and teachers together, and this is what I want to do now. This is what I want to do. Or we can be like David, who's in the hospital in New York from cancer on his spine, who was told he couldn't. There he is. There's David. What a great trim tap. Who was told he wasn't going to walk again. And David said, I don't know about that. And I'm sure he inspires everyone, especially with that mask. You know, it's time for us to get. Jesus doesn't want us to worship him in death. He wants us to worship him in life. He said, I made the last useless journey the sonship will ever have to make. I was beaten, abandoned, and finally killed. But you know what? I did not share that perception, he said. I used this last useless journey, this experience, so you don't have to do it anymore. Do not crucify yourself longer. What did he say to do in the midst of your crucifixions? Ooh, David knows. Teach only love, for that is what you are. He wore it on his mask. That's the truth. Teach only love, for that is what you are. For those in who pass through your mind, those passed on, those yet to be born, for those you think of right now, for yourself, teach only love, for that is what you are. This is how we awaken out of death, the limitations of our body, and the limitations of the desire to get rid of peace. By awakening to the truth of who we are and the truth of who God is. Not a God of punishment and sacrifice, but a God of love and healing and abundance. Paul, do you want to maybe read that next paragraph, number 3? Let's see how far we can get.
This is the darkest veil, upheld by the belief in death and protected by its attraction. The dedication to death and to its sovereignty is but the solemn vow, the promise made in secret to the ego never to lift this veil, not to approach it, nor even to suspect that it is there. This is the secret bargain made with the ego to keep that what lies beyond the veil forever blotted out and unremembered. Here is your promise never to allow union to call you out of separation. The great amnesia in which the memory of God seems quite forgotten, the cleavage of your capital self from you, the fear of God, the final step in your dissociation.
Yeah. You want to comment on that? Wow, it's just so much in there, but I mean...
it's pretty graphic. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. when it says what we... what the ego would have us believe is so far from the truth.
Yeah.
And it would seemingly, if you step back, it would seemingly say, well, how stupid can you be? Why don't you just enter the peace of God because it's right there? But again, it's kind of like saying, well, Jesus has patience with you, so you need to have patience with yourself. It's going to get there. But even further than that, I'm thinking of how much impatience we have when we're talking about this pandemic we're in. We're seeing others that don't want to get the vaccination or not wear the mask, and those of us who kind of abided by those things, how stupid it is for people. But, you know, we need to have, to me, it's just an allegory of us having peace with our own and patience with our own self, and to extend that patience to other people that we think maybe are not doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. And it can... you know, it can apply to many other things other than this pandemic. I just think of how many times during the day that we have the opportunity to show this kind of life. Wherever we go, we can have this other perspective. We can show that light, just if it's even talking to the counter, the person we're buying groceries from.
Yeah.
I find sometimes the most fascinating little discussions when you're buying groceries from the checker there, and just what people talk about when that small amount of time. And I'm empowered because I always like to give a little humor and find a little something to make them, you know, laugh.
Right.
And make myself laugh and feel better.
Right.
So that's the life that this is talking about.
Yeah.
It's around us all the time. We just need to look for the opportunities for it.
Right. Oh, I so totally agree with you. And this whole thing is what we kind of led up to, this thought that we're having to fear death in some way, you know, and that we have to fear God in some way, that he's out to get us. I hope that tonight was really helpful to you. I know it was helpful to me. I'm so inspired by all of you and all the transformations that are going on in your life and all the little trim tabs you are. So if you are been going through, if you have done something that you see as your trim tab, that has helped, you in your life to rise above the chaos and the battleground, please send it to me. I'd like to know. I'd like to share it with all of our worldwide audience because I know it makes a difference. So thank you again. We're running out of time right now, but thank you so much for joining with us tonight. We appreciate you joining. We hope to see you next week. So God bless you. And remember, God's peace and joy are yours. So enjoy. Okay? God bless you. We'll see you next week. Good night.